Okay. Parshas Chayisara is a time when, for many people, they focus on Chevron. It's a time where it's become increasingly popular in Eretz Yisrael. It's for people that go to Chevron for Shabbos. And I wanted to speak a little bit about Chevron, in particular, in Shavuos Machshava, what it is that makes Chevron a little bit unique. What we do know is that Chevron is referred to as the Ir HaAvos. It's the city that's associated with our with the Avos. We know in this week's Parsha, it's Dafka, the place that Avram Avinu was Kona. It's a place he purchased in order to bury Sarah. But in Torah HaKabbalah happens to be in particular, one finds a variety of insights about Chevron. The Zohar tells us that Chevron is the Pesach of Gan Eden, that Chevron, Maras Machpelah, is the entrance point to Gan Eden. Some point out the Megala Amukos and others suggest that all tefillos that we daven really go through the city of Chevron. We also know that when Kalev is one of the Meraglim, and Kalev is, when all the Meraglim come to Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara in Sota tells us, Rashi quotes in Pershal Torah, via Voad Chevron, that when Kalev feels a bit pressure being with the Meraglim, he dafka chooses to go to the city of Chevron, and that is because Chevron is a place that has a unique state. What exactly is it about Chevron that makes it somewhat special amongst other cities of Eretz Yisrael? So I want to try to share with you two Mahalchim. There are two Sfarim that I'm aware of that talk about individual cities of Eretz Yisrael, Alpi Torah Samachshava. One's a sefer called Tzion Va'areha. That's a collection of the Torah of Moshe Wolfson, who's Mashgiach from Torah Vadas, and one of the giants, really, of Machshava in our generation. Moshe Wolfson, Tzion Va'areha. The other's a sefer that's not as well known, maybe as it should be, called Chein Makom. Chein Makom is the first sefer, to my knowledge, written by Rav Hendler, which is a sefer on the individual cities of Eretz Yisrael. A lot of chassidus in both of those farim. I'm sure there are more farim like that. I want to share with you one mahalach that's a more classic mahalach. We'll Rav Hendler in one place. He's a lot in Chevron, but in one place relates to this mahalach. Then I'll share with you a second mahalach which comes from Moshe Wolf. The first mahalach about what makes Chevron unique is one that many of us are probably familiar with, and that is based on the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash tells us that it's one of three cities in which our control, our bialess over those places, those locations, can't be questioned. Avram, Nisuk Parsha, purchases Chevron, Bekesef Maleh, he purchases Chevron with a decent amount of money. It's established, therefore, as a place which is ours. The Medrash says, Chevron, Har HaMoriah, Yushalayim, and Shechem are three places which the Umos HaOlam are not able to question. Those are three places that are undoubtedly ours. Rabbi Yaakovson is fond of asking the question and pointing out that that's odd in that those are the three locations that are most often questioned as far as our own bialess, and then he has a couple suggestions there. But it definitely does represent, in the thought of Chazal, a place that where we feel a certain sense of permanence, where we feel a certain sense of real control. It happens to be the first city, I believe, in Sefer Bereishis, the first city that Avram dwells in permanently. Up until that point, Avram is really wandering from place to place. Chevron's the first place where Avram has any real sort of permanent set. In light of this, my father once suggested a very beautiful idea. It is anniversary season in the Turetsky home. So he suggested this at my brother's Ufruf. I then asked him also if he could say it over at my Ufruf. It's a beautiful idea. The Gemara says in the beginning of Masechet Kiddushin, Ki yikach ish isha, we learn kicha kicha mishtei Ephraim. The way that we learn that a marriage is established is from Avram's purchase of Chevron. It's a little bit of a strange, many of the Baalei Machshava ask, it's a little bit of a strange limud. That the purchase of a field, why is that going to be the model for the kind of purchase that we're going to have, or the kind of transaction that occurs in a marriage? Those of us thinking about Tovas and Ksubas and Dabez right now maybe have what to think about. My father suggested at the time that it's because the purchase of Chevron represents a certain kind of permanence. The purchase of Chevron is one that where you're establishing, Klai Yisrael is establishing forever that this is going to be establishing relationship that will be there. My father suggests it's also the pshat, what we're trying to accomplish by the kinkesef of a marriage. It's not stam a transaction. It's a transaction which is trying to indicate a certain kind of permanence. Rav Hendler points out a Zohar. The Zohar, I think, is a little bit well known. The Zohar suggests, why is it called Maras Machpelah? Because when Avram purchased Chevron, all of Eretz Yisrael was mikupelet. All of Eretz Yisrael was folded under Chevron. That when Avram purchased Chevron, it wasn't just the permanence that a Jew has of Chevron. It was really the permanence that we were really acquiring all of Eretz Yisrael at that time. It was all folded over for us to establish and for Avram to acquire everything. Pendler points out that Reb Tzadok does relate to this idea. In general, though, the first mahalach that we're working off of, Chevron's unique and special in sort of Chazal and in Chumash. What is it in particular about Chevron that distinguishes itself? So one is the permanence. Avram's first place where he dwells in any permanent kind of a way. The Zohar, that it's the all of Eretz Yisrael sort of folded over. When Avram acquires Chevron, he acquires everything. The Medrash, that's one of three places where Avram, clearly the transaction is there, and it's really totally, totally ours. That's Mahalach number one. Rav Moshe Wolfson has what is an incredibly beautiful Mahalach to tap into the nature of Chevron. I'll start by just a simple question that he asks, and it's one that is very thought-provoking. That Rashi tells us in the beginning of Parshas Chayei Sarah that Kiryat Arba hi Chevron, the Torah tells us, Kiryat Arba and Chevron are the same. Why is it called Kiryat Arba? So Rashi first says, because there were four Anakim, there were four giants that were buried in Chevron. He then says it's called Kiryat Arba because of the four Zugos that are buried there. Adam and Chavra, Avram and Sarah, Yitzhak and Rivka, and Yaakov and Leah. Asked Rav Moshe Wolfson, if we're looking for two different ideas, it's a little bit odd that the idea of Kiryat Arba, of the four Avos, is the second shot that Rashi quotes. The first is about how there were four giants who happened to live there. Four giants not distinguished at all for their sense of righteousness or holiness. And that they are the ones who, that's our first level. And the Avos, what we typically think of first about Chevron, that's the second shot in Rashi. Moshe Wolfson suggests that it's because the nature of the Kedusha of Chevron is fundamentally different from the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim is associated with Har HaMoriah. A mountain is a place that is revealed that you can see from wherever you are. From a distance, you can see that mountain. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim is an external form of Kedusha. It's one where the Ribbono Shel Olam Shechina shines forth from that location. That it's the place where the Makom HaMikdash is going to be, and it represents a certain kind of holiness. But Har Yireh, it's a place of a mountain where all can see it. Maaras HaMachpelah, its location is Maaras HaMachpelah. Certain days in Chazal, it's a cave within a cave. It's buried and buried underneath. Says Rav Moshe Wolfson, the Kedusha of Chevron. Chevron is a location that is profoundly holy, but you have to dig a little bit deeper. It's profoundly holy, but you have to be able not to look at things in a superficial kind of a way, not to look at things as far as externally what's there, but to be able to dig a little bit deeper. He suggests that's really why Rashi, the first shot, Kiryat Arba, the two shot them go together. The first shot of Kiryat Arba, there are four giants buried there. And that's how many people look at Chevron. It's just a place where there were a bunch of people that lived, and some more prominent, some less prominent, not that holy, and they happen to be buried there. The second shot, meaning the deeper shot, the one that you can only get if you try to delve deeper and understand in a better way, is it's also the place where if you dig, you're going to find out that's where the Avos HaKadoshim are buried. That's a place which is incredibly, incredibly holy. He suggests, he points out that in Zohar, the Zohar tells us that there's a connection between Yerushalayim and Chevron. Chevron has a piece of Yerushalayim in it. Says in Moshe Wolfson, part of the Chiddush of Chevron is it reveals something about Yerushalayim. The fact that Chevron always has Kedusha, even though it's not external, even though you can't see it, it's really there in a much, much deeper way. He says, so too that is the pshat when it comes to Yerushalayim. Sheba Chevron v'limed al Yerushalayim ki gam b'chorbana adayim b'hastara chofev shechinas uzeinu al sukkah shalom. That even in Yerushalayim itself, even though you can't see it, Chevron teaches us that things can be holy, even if externally it doesn't look that special, even if externally it doesn't look that unique, deep down there's Kedusha in Chevron, and so too as the Zohar tells us that Chevron is mikusheres in Yerushalayim, that Chevron is tied together with Yerushalayim, it's because it reveals something very, very special about Yerushalayim. It clarifies for us the extent to which Yerushalayim is a place where things really are very, very, are still holy and still righteous, even though we really can't see it. What we tried to suggest tonight are really two different mahalachim about the nature of Chevron. The first mahalach, it's one that establishes Klal Yisrael's permanent connection to Eretz Yisrael. The second, it's one that reminds us that Kedusha is rarely, or is at least Chevron highlights for us, that there are places where holiness you really can see. And there are places where holiness is it's not as obvious. But if a person digs a little bit deeper, if a person struggles a bit to try and understand in a deeper way what's really there, so dafka in that place you're able to find a degree of holiness. I would suggest just one concluding thought. Maybe the two ideas happen to go together in a very nice and meaningful way. It is often that which is much more external and showy where it becomes a bit more transient. That which is external and showy sometimes doesn't last anywhere near as long. The kind of Kedusha which is found in Chevron, a deep one, one that goes to the fundamental foundations, deep, deep down who the Avos were and what they did. So that is something where that often becomes a bit more permanent. That's something where there is a certain kind. There is a certain kind of long-lasting kind of a growth. Sometimes growth that's a bit more external, growth which is a bit more sort of just flashy on the outside, does not last anywhere near as long. It's a kind of growth which is deep down and inside. The second mahalach, which ties together very nicely with the first mahalach, that it's something which can be very permanent. It's something which has the capacity to last for a very, very long time. May we be zocha to see, not only to have the eyes to see, not only the chevron that's really much, much deeper in Kedusha, but that we actually are zocha to see the full revelation of Kedusha that takes place in Yerushalayim on the mountain with the Shechina there, with Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Shkayach, guys, have a great night.